So, Noreen O'Sullivan is the first female Garda Commissioner in the 92-year history of the force. She takes on the top job at a time when the Garda Síochána is grappling with low morale and also ongoing controversies like the quashing of penalty points and the treatment of whistleblowers. In a few minutes, we'll hear from one of those whistleblowers. Former Garda John Wilson is with me in studio, as indeed is Michael Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner. But let's go first to somebody who knew the new Commissioner when she was a raw recruit, so to speak, in on Garda Síochána, former Detective Chief Superintendent John McRorty. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, as I understand it, and I think she said it herself publicly, all she wanted to do from the beginning was be treated as every other member of the force, irrespective of background or gender. And you saw in Noreen O'Sullivan, I gather, somebody who had something special to offer.
Yes, indeed. From the very beginning, from the first time that she joined the force, she showed an ability to get stuck in and to actively become involved in investigations. And she did that from day one. Her talents were fairly obvious to us. She wasn't very long in uniform until we had taken her into the drug squad and to a number of other plainclothes units at the time, because she had that kind of style, she had that kind of skill, and was well worth her place on the team.
Well, now, I know you're a long time out of the force, some 15 years, but you were head of the drug squad in her early days, and you put her into plainclothes, so to speak, and sent her onto the streets.
Yes, indeed. We saw her. I was heading up the drug squad at that time, along with Dennis Mullins, former the first leader of the drug squad. And we saw her talent and we utilised her very effectively. She was a very good operator. She was competent. She was calm. Generally speaking, any of the cases she was working on, we got a good result on them.
And I think she would be somebody who would say that it wasn't easy for a woman Garda at that time. We're going back, obviously, 30 years or more. I mean, was there a reluctance to treat women the same way as male members of the force?
I think there was, you know, coming from where we had come from, which was an all-male force. Prior to that, I think you'd have to expect that there would be some residues of that, and the girls had to learn how to acquit themselves and defend themselves, and generally speaking, they give a very good account of themselves, and Noreen would have been probably top of the pile in that regard.
And what about her progression then through on Garda Síochána up the ranks?
Well, it was easy to see that she was a girl who was going places, because she did her exams, she qualified, she did all the right things. She had good court experience, she had good investigative experience. I recall her out on investigations when she was pregnant in her early marriage years, when she was having children, and it didn't seem to deter her. She was in there working along with others.
But did you ever
at that particular time, and she progressed through the force, and many of the investigations that she was involved in were major investigations, and many criminal gangs went to prison as a result of the work of Noreen and others, may I say also, who worked alongside her. She was a team player at every stage at that time.
Would she have had to put herself into the Barnab Whale, into dangerous situations in confronting these characters?
Yes, of course, that is the situation, but she coped very well with it. And I know we never had any complaints whatsoever from any quarter about the work of Noreen O'Sullivan when she was in the front line, which she was for many years.
But in those early days, John McRorty, when you were running the drug squad, did it ever cross your mind that you were looking at a future commissioner?
Well, one doesn't think of it in those terms, but certainly I would have had no difficulty in seeing that this lady had talent and definitely would make her mark in the years to come. That didn't surprise me at all.
And when you look at the situation now in Garda Síochána, clearly there are issues about morale, and there's the inspectorate findings that came out recently, and there's the stuff about Pulse and the stuff about Garda penalty points being cancelled despite reassurances that the system was going to change. Questions are being asked about whether it's wise, irrespective of all the talents, and there's no question about her professionalism or anything like that, whether it is wise to appoint an insider. What do you say?
I say she's very well qualified for the task. She has a degree in law. She has the experience on the ground. And, you know, Just for a moment, I'd like to say this, Sean. People who think that some foreigner can come in here and direct us and tell us what to do, those people are deluding themselves. We worked with foreigners. I worked with people in the neighbouring island, in France, in Brussels, in Spain, in South America, with the Americans, with the Canadians, and also with the Australians. And I can tell you that there are no wonderful individuals there who could reform and turn this force around. The force needs some work. It needs new strategies, perhaps, and Noreen is in a good position to do that. She knows it needs to be done. She knows the cameras are on her. She knows that the eyes of the nation are on her. She knows that. And what she must do now, surround herself with the right kind of people, put in place the right strategy, the right division, and communicate that to the senior officers and go ahead with making good decisions and good judgments.
And when you say, you know, when you refer to some foreigner coming in telling us how to run the force, I mean, would you include in that description, say, candidates who would previously be right now working for the Police Service of Northern Ireland, would you call them foreigners?
Well, I don't know too much about that, Sean. I'm referring to the experience that I had in working with them. We received money from Brussels and we operated with a number of the European police forces. We had them in here and we were as good as any of them on every single issue.
Right, stay with us if you would, please. And thanks for your contribution so far, John McCourty, former Detective Chief Superintendent. John Wilson, you are somebody who has argued from the start that there should have been an outsider. But we've got somebody who knows the force from the inside, clearly like the back of her hand, and with a great reputation.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, John. Can I just say, just as an aside, in relation to Dennis Mullins and John McGrorty, they deserve great credit for their efforts to rid this country of the scourge of drugs. There's no doubt about that. Really, you know, you have to just go back to a couple of weeks ago when the latest Garda Inspectorate report was published. And a very telling comment that Bob Olson made, the chairperson, when he appeared on primetime that night. And he was referring to the vast majority of members of an Garda Síochána who are rank and file guards, hard-working people. And he referred to them as thousands of good people who were not led very well. Well, that's an understatement. I have no doubt that Noreen O'Sullivan is a very, very able and competent person. But the reality is that, and even going back to what Judge Smiddick said in relation to the organisation, that loyalty comes before honesty. There are serious difficulties in an Garda Síochána at the moment. That's why we urgently need the independent Garda authority. I called from day one when Martin Callanan left. I called for an outsider to be appointed as the next commissioner.
Yeah, but wouldn't an outsider take at least a year to get to know his or her bearings, to get to know the lie of the land, to familiarise him or herself with the force?
Not necessarily. I mean, the Garda Commissioner's job is a management position. You know,
you need to know who you can trust. You need to know who you can rely on. That takes time to build up that knowledge.
Well, I mean, the poisonous culture, the ingrained culture in Garda Síochána will take some time to change. And I mean, I accept what you're saying. I mean, an outsider would take some time to acclimatise to the workings of Garda Síochána. Not as long as some people have said. I mean, in relation to the appointment of Noreen O'Sullivan, I wished her well. I do wish her well. I wish her the best of luck. I mean, really, I think that she cannot, and I take on board what John McGrorty has said about her competency, but she cannot detach herself from the gross dysfunctionality highlighted in the last Garda Inspectorate report and in several reports that have been published over the last year or so.
In saying that, though, John, do you allow for the possibility that she may have been an intensely frustrated deputy commissioner or assistant commissioner, seeing what, and that she has perhaps convinced the people who went out to recruit the new commissioner, and she's now that person, that she had a good insight into what needed to be done?
Well, as I said, I mean, I'm not taking away from her competency, but the reality is that since 2007, she held two of the top positions in Garda management. Firstly, as an assistant commissioner, and then since 2011, as a deputy commissioner. She cannot detach herself from what has gone before, Sean.
Michael Clifford, what's your assessment of this appointment?
Well, in the first instance, I think, Sean, as somebody said to me last night, Martin Callanan could have been reappointed commissioner, and to a certain extent it won't make a difference because change is coming irrespective of who the commissioner is. When you take into account the inspectorate, the report we saw a few months ago, no commissioner would survive a similar report were it to be issued in, say, 2 or 3 years' time. So that's going to make people sit up and take notice. GSOC has much improved powers, which now take in the role of the commissioner as well, and then you have the Garda Authority coming into play as well. So there is going to be change one way or the other. In terms of bringing in an outsider, one of the big issues, if you want to reform the culture, and I think most people agree that a certain reform of culture has to be done, is there's a huge layer of management there that are wedded to the culture. Now, Noreen O'Sullivan, if one takes her bona fides and that she genuinely wants to reform it, she will know how to separate the wheat from the chaff in that regard, and therefore she'd be ideally placed to do so. An outsider coming in, as you said, it would take a long time to adapt at the very least. And that's and remember as well, an outsider could not bring in his or her own people. They would have to deal with the people that are there. One small thing though, last night, and small sour note I thought to start off on, she made mention of the fact that the penalty points audit will show that the new system she's brought into play is working. My understanding is that ain't the case, and I just hope we aren't starting off on a spinning note, so to speak.
And to come back to you, John McRorty, just a quote from Claire Daly, who is an independent deputy who has been championing the cause, if you like, of reform, particularly where the penalty points are concerned. She says, look, the old boys club is alive and well. We can look forward to the blue wall silence continuing. What would you say to that?
I think that she deserves a chance. I think that it's wrong to make a comment like that. Why not wait and see? This lady has an excellent track record, and I think that I can say to people, she's deserving of this, she's well capable of it, and if she gets the right support, and above all, if she gets the resources from government. The government have a deep responsibility in this to provide all the necessary resources in terms of manpower and equipment and give her the opportunity and to do it right. And if she puts beside her the right kind of officers, she can carry it through. She's well up to the task.
Might she need to go down a generation in recruiting the people or in appointing the people at senior management level?
Yes, that's one of the qualities of leadership, is that if a new direction is needed, if a new strategy, well, that's what they do. And I would differentiate between management and leadership. A leader knows what needs to be done. The manager decides how to do it. The leader says, this is what we're doing, that's where we're going, put the thing in place, and he instructs all his or her officers to get this up and running, and that's what they need to do.
And where the inspectors identified the failings and serious failings, be it in the recording of crime, in the non-recording of fingerprints, in the non-recognition of domestic violence, in the fact that middle management, the inspector at the inspector and sergeant level are spending something like 90% of their time on administration as opposed to managing the members on the ground. Do you think
maybe all that needs to be overhauled? Maybe somebody needs to look at that again, and Noreen would be just the person to do that and to hand an awful lot of that over to civilian operators and to let the police do what they're trained and equipped and best at, which is to enforce the law.
And do you think there is a need then for a cadre of civilian operators to come in and supplement Garda management and leadership?
I think in certain instances it may be possible for the force to divest themselves of some of those operations that are in the administration area and hand them over to civilian operators. The public seem to want that anyway, so why not give it to them?
And what about the way up to now, certainly, and John Wilson is testament to this, and Sergeant McCabe as well, that whistleblowers have been cold-shouldered, to put it mildly, up to now. She seems to take a different view, that people should be listened to. Is that what you think is needed?
Well, I'm not going to go into the whole whistleblower saga here, but I'd say this to you. People should look at the history of whistleblowers through time, back over the years, going back to all the sagas in America and in Australia and in the neighbouring jurisdiction here, and you'll see that whistleblowers, generally, history has never been kind to them, and that's well worth researching for anybody who has that kind of interest.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that in the long term, whistleblowers rarely win out. I'm not saying they're wrong. Sometimes they're right, indeed. But
and that shows maybe why they need to be listened to.
Yeah, sometimes they do need to be listened to, and in some respects. And if all of this, what has happened here, if that happened all over again, I doubt that all the people involved on the official side would have said and acted as they now have done.
John Wilson?
I wonder what Mr. McGrory thinks of the fact that Martin Callanan, the then commissioner, called myself and Maurice McCabe disgusting. I wonder what his views on that are.
Well, I think he referred, he wasn't talking about you as individuals, as what you did and the approach you
took. Well, yes, John, that's fine. But, I mean, Noin O'Sullivan will be the most scrutinised commissioner in the history of An Garda Síochána. An Garda Síochána needs to be rebranded as our National Policing Service. It's time to take the word force away and to rebrand the organisation. We need the establishment of a truly independent Garda Authority. Now, I don't mean a Garda Authority that's handcuffed to the government of the day. A truly independent Garda Authority that can take charge of our promotions within the organisation, because the current promotion system at all levels is incestuous, dysfunctional and rotten. It's the who you know culture. It's still thriving in An Garda Síochána.
Michael Clifford, just on the promotions question, again, that is going to be transferred in the most part, or for the most part, from Cabinet. To the new authority.
Yeah, no, within the context that at the moment a list comes before the Commissioner, and how much influence the Commissioner will have over the new one, we'll have to wait and see. But in that broad area, I mean, I think a major issue is that if Noreen O'Sullivan can bring in a corporate sense, the idea of proper standards, there are individual officers there who aspire towards proper standards, but the culture is such that it's geared towards careerism and ass covering, so to speak. If she can bring in a sense of standards across the whole force, then, and that people should aspire to it, then I believe that big problem, which, as John said, Judge Smittix encapsulated as putting loyalty above the truth, which affects whistleblowers, etc., that I think can be tackled if you're able to bring in that whole idea of proper standards being applied to the work right across the force, rather than individuals just aspiring towards it against the prevailing culture.
And to go back, John Wilson, to something Michael Clifford said a few minutes ago about the quashing of the penalty points. Now, the Commissioner seemed to be taking a fairly optimistic view last night as to what the latest report would show. Michael takes a different view, but it is going to be an early critical test, isn't it?
Well, Sean, 6 weeks after Noin O'Sullivan became the interim Garda Commissioner, a senior Garda officer terminated a ticket for a serving Garda. It was his sixth termination. The abuses continued on her watch. Noin O'Sullivan will be judged by the way she performs as commissioner. She will be the most scrutinised commissioner in the history of the state.
To be fair to her, you have to say that the different approach she took when Maurice McCabe came forward with the latest set of allegations, some of which came from other officers, the different approach she took to the initial inquiry under her colleague, Assistant Commissioner John O'Mahony, is very notable. Instead of ignoring Sergeant McCabe, she asked him to come in and assist the Professional Standards Unit in investigating it. And I'd say, if that's an indication of where she intends going, it's certainly a positive start one way or the other.
And finally, to come back to yourself, John McGrorty, you clearly have strong expectations of this woman appointed now to lead An Garda Síochána. Where do you think she's going to make her biggest or her strongest and her earliest impact, maybe?
Well, I think she'll spell it out early. I think she's got good vision. I think she's got good communication skills. And above all, I think she has sound judgment. And that, of course, will be her legacy. The judgment calls she makes in her new capacity, I hope she gets them right. Nobody gets them right all the time. Let's understand that. But if she gets them right a significant number of times, I think she'll get a lot of support and a lot of recognition as having been a wise choice.
And I suspect that the vast majority of people listening to you all will wish her the very best of luck, give the woman a fair chance.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Mine is not just opinion, Sean. I have worked with this lady and I know her worth and I know her value.
Right, time will tell and perhaps we'll know fairly soon. John McGrorty, Michael Clifford, John Wilson, thank you all for being with us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.